The economy forces suspension of the commercial airline pilot training program. Unions will like the next FAA administrator. And NBAA continues butting heads with the TSA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 27th, 2009. The slumping economy appears to have claimed another high-profile victim in the aviation industry. The Commercial Airline Pilot Training Program, or CAPT, has suspended operations. The Daytona Beach News Journal reports program officials sent an email to students on Friday announcing the indefinite hiatus while they review finances. Chris Kokai, executive director of the flight school based at Flagler County Airport in Bonnell, Florida, did say in the message, quote, "We hope to resume a full operating schedule in early February," unquote. The announcement is bad news for about 160 Chinese students whose educational visas may now expire before their training is complete. Some had complained earlier that their instruction had fallen behind schedule. Officials in Flagler County were also caught off guard after the county approved tax incentives for expansion of the program and a resulting increase in local employment. The two unions, which represent the bulk of the FAA workforce, have spent the last few years at war with the Bush administration. Suddenly, two candidates for the job of FAA administrator under President Obama appear to be putting improved labor relations at the focus of their campaigns for the job. The Washington Post reports Robert T. Herbert, an aide to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, appears to be making headway against Duane Wirth, a former president of the Airline Pilots Association. Wirth's obvious union credentials put him in the early lead, and he also got the endorsement of the AFL-CIO. But Herbert got a letter of support from Reid last month and was able to meet with incoming Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood the very day the Senate confirmed his nomination. The Post reports at least one aviation union has decided it could be happy with either candidate and won't fight for Wirth over Herbert. Both men have accomplished aviation backgrounds and are widely viewed as qualified for the job of FAA administrator. Secretary LaHood told senators during his confirmation hearing that he would prioritize ending the FAA's pay and work rule fights with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association and the Professional Aviation Safety Specialists. Officials have released the identities of the two people involved in Sunday morning's crash of a Rimos GX light sport aircraft on takeoff from Sebring Regional Airport in Florida. Stephen Fletcher was a freelance aviation photographer based in the United Kingdom. He was a passenger. He died when the aircraft hit the airport's south ramp, adjacent to runway 18, about 7:45 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. The pilot, Mike Kostolak, was airlifted to a Tampa hospital. His condition was reported to have stabilized as of yesterday morning. Kostolak is the Northeast Regional Sales Manager for Rimos and was staffing the company's exhibit at the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo. The National Transportation Safety Board arrived yesterday to begin its investigation. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin reiterated Friday the potentially ruinous effect the TSA's proposed large aircraft security program could have not only on small and mid-sized businesses that rely on their aircraft, but on the general aviation community as a whole. Quote, "The TSA's proposal would overwhelm businesses, airports, and others across the general aviation community at a time when it is beset with challenges in the current marketplace. Equally unfortunate, the burden the proposal would produce would not result in a clear security benefit," unquote. Bolin was addressing the agency's fourth hearing on the proposal held in Burbank, California, and repeated his call for a formal aviation rulemaking committee to consider LASP. Quote, "It would be a good step toward ensuring that we get it right in determining a final rule," unquote. Up next on ANN, a scandal emerges from efforts to train space tourists. The U.S. Navy faces a lawsuit over a training accident. And another A320 is forced down by birds. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in.
Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 27th. I'm Paul Plack. These early days of commercial space tourism are heady days, bringing together imaginative entrepreneurs, wealthy would-be space travelers, and optimistic government agencies anxious to commit big pools of taxpayer dollars in the hopes they'll reap future economic benefits. Coincidentally, this also looks like the ingredient list for corruption. The Orlando Sentinel reports a public-private partnership to train space tourists in Florida is being marred by accusations of impropriety. Specifically, based on documents and email records obtained by the Sentinel, the paper reports Bryce Harris, who worked in Governor Charlie Crist's Tourism and Economic Development Office, appears to have been deeply involved in putting together a $500,000 deal to train would-be space tourists at a Panhandle sports medicine clinic. The Andrews Institute caters to a wealthy clientele and was deemed an ideal place not only to train but to recruit space tourists. Half the money came through Space Florida, an agency created to attract private space ventures to Florida's famous launch facilities. The other $250,000 came from an agency that directs the governor's economic development efforts. Problems which have come to light include Harris's resignation from his state job to join the institute, an apparent violation of state ethics laws, which prohibit a state employee from joining any firm holding a state contract he's facilitated. The half of the money that came from the governor's economic development agency was taken from a fund earmarked, quote, for the maintenance and expansion of military missions in Florida, unquote. It was also supposed to be available only to match private sector contributions. There's also a lingering protest from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, which had proposed establishing a similar training program, but was snubbed in favor of the Andrews Institute, which then hired Harris away from the state. Governor Crist's Inspector General tells the Sentinel he's launched a probe in response to the paper's report. Emails obtained by the paper suggest the sensitive nature of the brewing scandal had already been discussed at high levels, including exchanges with Lieutenant Governor Jeff Kottkamp, who oversees Space Florida. For the moment, Project Odyssey, as it's called, is going forward. Dale Brill, the director of the Economic Development Agency that chipped in the $250,000 from the Military Missions Fund, has tried to minimize Harris's role in putting the deal together before he left his state job. The expenditure of the military mission money is being justified by a claim that the program hopes to make some use of facilities at Pensacola Naval Air Station, and the Andrews Institute claims it's putting up some matching money. And Harris's position at the Institute has been titled Director of Defense and Aerospace Programs, although it's not clear there's any actual defense connection aside from the fact the funds were received from that military earmark. There will no doubt be more to report on this in coming weeks as the governor's inspector general toils away under a very bright spotlight. A California law firm has filed a complaint in Los Angeles Superior Court on behalf of the families of three Navy sailors who died when their helicopter suffered an apparent tail rotor drive failure and went down in the Pacific Ocean during a training exercise 2 years ago. As ANN reported, the MH-60S Nighthawk went down off San Clemente Island on January 26, 2007. Named as defendants in the complaint are the manufacturers of the Nighthawk and several of its components. The Navy is accused of backing out of an initial agreement to allow an independent inspection of the wreckage by representatives of the families of the victims, allegedly insisting later on a court order. Well, it's no miracle on the Hudson, but there's been another bird strike on an Airbus A320. This time, UPI reports it happened to a JetBlue flight departing Orlando on Saturday. Company officials say the plane was likely hit by birds and lost power in one engine, forcing the crew to abort the takeoff. JetBlue's Jenny Durvin commented, quote, "We did find some damage that is consistent with a bird strike," unquote. No injuries were reported to passengers or crew. In its report on the incident, the Orlando Sentinel notes that more than 82,000 bird strikes were reported at nearly 1,600 U.S. airports between 1990 and 2007. Birds and other wildlife striking aircraft cause damage estimated at $620 million every year. And that's just in the U.S. Still ahead, Indiana seaplane pilots fight for access to lakes. An Ohio man who shot a laser at four aircraft is sentenced to 3 years. And slamming business aircraft remains a popular sport for tabloids. You're listening to Aero News. At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 27th. I'm Paul Plagg. It's taken a decade of study, but the Indiana Departments of Natural Resources and Transportation have finally scheduled two public meetings to solicit public comment on a new proposal that would ease the state's tight restrictions on seaplane operations from lakes. The Indiana Seaplane Pilots Association, frustrated that only four of the state's 700 lakes have the established seaplane bases required under state law to qualify for operations, has been working to get a modest expansion to include a total of 17 lakes, at least allowing hopping around the state a little bit. ISPA President Randy Strebig says Indiana lags far behind Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota in access for seaplanes to public waters. But he's also a little nervous about the hearings. Quote, any time a public policy is up for review, there is potential for bad changes to be made. We need as large a showing of support as possible, unquote. The group is asking seaplane supporters nationwide to send letters and emails of support for the change to state regulators and urges supporters in and around northeastern Indiana to attend the hearings and be heard. You can find a sample letter and contact info on the group's website, and you can find that link at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Step Up Aviation LLC is a flying club and flight school located in Austin, Texas. The aircraft available range from a Cessna 140 to a Cirrus SR-22, and the group just added a Technam Bravo LSA to its flight line. But in addition to offering aircraft that accommodate a wide range of pilot experience, the club has a unique feature that won't surprise those familiar with Austin. Step Up President Bob Burlingmare comments, quote, our community is noted for its environmental awareness, so participating in the Carbon Neutral Plane Program is a natural way for our business to reflect our own values as well as those of our community, unquote. Carbon Neutral Plane is a program based in Bend, Oregon, which supervises the subsidy of programs which offset the greenhouse gas emissions of powered flight by supporting activities which reduce an equivalent amount of carbon dioxide. An Ohio man who aimed a high-powered green laser at least four aircraft on June 4th last year has pleaded guilty to several felonies and will spend 3 years behind bars. Officials in the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office tell the Cleveland Plain Dealer that 26-year-old Justin DeWalt bought his laser on the Internet. On the night of the 4th, the crews of two airplanes landing at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport and the pilot of a MetroHealth Medical Center helicopter with a patient on board reported that someone hit their cockpits with a laser. When a police helicopter came to have a look, its pilot also reported being hit in the eye with a beam and reported it came from a moving car. Ground patrols stopped a car and discovered DeWalt in the back seat with the handheld laser. The 3-year sentence is not just for charges related to the laser. Police say DeWalt also pleaded guilty to drug charges. And finally, the New York Post apparently feels the ignorant media pile-on against business aircraft will still sell newspapers. Post writers Jennifer Gould Kyle and Chuck Bennett are calling out embattled Citigroup for its plan to take delivery of a new Dassault Falcon 7X business jet after receiving a $45 billion taxpayer bailout. The article, headlined, Just Plain Despicable, reads in part, quote, Beleaguered Citigroup is upgrading its Mile High Club with a brand new $50 million corporate jet. Only this time, it's the taxpayers who are getting screwed, unquote. Citigroup responded with a statement yesterday, noting the company has slashed its corporate fleet by two-thirds since 2000 and has strict policies dictating the appropriate use of business aircraft. While Kyle and Bennett are good at inflaming uninformed class envy, they're obviously not real good at math. While they do eventually get around to acknowledging that Citigroup is also selling off two 10-year-old Falcon 900 EX jets worth $27 million each, apparently it didn't occur to them that those sales could bring in more than the new jet's total cost. The 7X is also a considerable improvement in fuel efficiency, noise, and emissions. City Flight head Bill McNamee hotly declined comment when contacted by the Post. Quote, "Why should I help you when what you write will be used to the detriment of our company?" Unquote. You tell them, Bill. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Jason Blair, Executive Director of the National Association of Flight Instructors. Two NAFI directors are out, and a new peer review board has been appointed to handle applications for master instructor credentials. Jason will fill us in on details. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.